You're listening to Her Path to Success, a podcast to empower women to pursue a career that aligns with their passions and core values. We encourage women to show up, take actions, and thrive in their own ways. If you're looking to get inspired and expand your mind, you are in the right place. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Her Path to Success. I'm your host, Peggy Wu. As I mentioned in the prior episode, this podcast is created to empower women to start a business or make a meaningful career transition that aligns with their passions and core values. The goal is to encourage women to be confident, courageous, and creative in their careers. Speaking of being creative, my guest for today's show is a true representation of creativity. I want to introduce you to the multi-talented Lisa Hall. Lisa is a co-founder and illustrator of Baby Ventures, a women-owned small business specializing in one-of-a-kind board books and artwork for young children. Lisa also founded Bohemian Creative Lifestyle, where she creates globally inspired artwork on a variety of print products. Lisa is a lifelong painter and has over 15 years of professional marketing, graphic design, and illustration experience. Her artwork was featured on greeting cards, children's books, and prints. Lisa is also an avid traveler. She's most inspired to paint the people and places she encountered during her travels. A neat story that I learned about Lisa was she discovered her art style while serving as a Peace Corps volunteer in Mali. We recorded Lisa's story in early December of 2020. She gave her perspective on careers and talked about her challenges, success, and how she got to where she is. She also shared her advice on pursuing a passion. Let's welcome Lisa.
Thank you, Peggy. I'm so honored to be here with you today. I know how inspired I get from hearing other stories such as yours about people who have transformed their lives to pursue their passions. And I'm really honored to share my story today. So as you mentioned, my name is Lisa Hall, and I live in Maryland, just outside Washington, D.C., and I recently heard the term multi-hyphenate. So that is someone who, for example, is an actor, a producer, a singer, a songwriter, someone who has their fingers in a lot of things. And as soon as I heard that, I thought, that's what I am. I'm a multi-hyphenate. Now I can finally figure out what it is I actually am. I have a lot of different interests, and I love to have my fingers in a lot of different things. So if I were to say what I do, and obviously I don't do all these things at the same time, but throughout my career, I am a marketer, graphic designer, artist, illustrator, children's book company co-founder, real estate investor, and home improvement enthusiast. So that may sound like a lot, but it really, they kind of falls in some similar buckets. And like I said, I don't do them all at the same time, but kind of throughout, they are a steady weave throughout my career. So I kind of look at my passions in life and the way I make money. I kind of put it in three different buckets. And for me, my career goals are 100% tied to my lifestyle goals. I am not someone who wants to create a business and have a ton of employees and get the $1 million investment. I want to live a lifestyle where I have freedom to work from where I want, when I want, and do what I love. So everything that I do absolutely ties into my lifestyle goals. So I kind of have three buckets of passions and how I make money. And the first bucket is marketing. So I do have a part-time marketing job that I've been with this company for almost 9 years, and I love working part-time. For me, it's perfect because it gives me steady income, but yet it still gives me time to pursue my other passions. So for anyone who's maybe hesitant of taking the leap and completely quitting their job, you know, working part-time or, you know, doing some freelancing work could really be a good way to ease into that transition. And, you know, some people might have been saving up for a while, or they feel like they really need to dive in to really make it work. And that's great. But for anyone who thinks that maybe that's too scary or they can't really do it, think about working part-time or doing some freelance work, you know, while you're setting up your other business. So that's one bucket. My second bucket is the real estate part. And I had a rental condo for 14 years and I was a landlord. I became more handy than I ever thought I would be, fixing things up and doing all this. And I recently sold it in October. And, you know, I completely renovated it before I sold it, all that. And now for the first time, I have a cushion where this would give me some financial freedom. If I wanted to quit my part-time job now, I could. I'm not quite ready to do that, but this has just been another avenue of how I have made some money on the side. And also in the real estate part is about 8 years ago, I bought a total fixer-upper house. Whatever you are thinking for a fixer-upper house, imagine it 10 times worse. That's the fixer-upper house that I bought. So I've been fixing it up on my own, doing what I can. Obviously, I don't do the big things, but kind of, you know, doing as much as I can. And I really enjoy home improvement. So it's been fun for me to learn how to do all this. And this is important to me for two reasons. One is that I don't have a huge mortgage over my head. So it gives me freedom to work less. I don't feel like I have to work the full-time job. I can do the part-time job while I'm working on other things. And I feel like having this asset is something, it's something I could rent out when I want to go travel, or I could do a house swap with somebody in Iceland or New Zealand or wherever. And so I feel like this is going to help me kind of build that freedom and be a really important asset for me. So that's kind of my second bucket. And then the third bucket are my creative businesses. So I have two creative businesses. The first one is I co-founded a children's book company almost 5 years ago with my longtime friend and collaborator. The company is called Baby Ventures. The website is babyventuresbooks.com. And we currently have three books out in the world. And we are currently looking for a publisher for our fourth book and beyond. We have three other ones that are in draft form. And our goal is to have a series of books published. And, you know, my dream is to walk into Barnes and Noble and see our books on the shelves. So that's where we are and kind of where we want to go with that. And the other creative business is newer. And right before COVID, actually, I was starting to think that I wanted to do some more illustration and art beyond just the children's books that I illustrate. And, you know, I'd always painted and I hadn't done that recently. And, you know, I just thought I really want to get back into creating more art. And for me, the a silver lining of COVID has been, you know, having to be at home has given me a lot of time to work on my art. And I just kind of had this creative explosion. And it had been so long since I had always been creating art for a purpose. And for the first time, I allowed myself just to create and just to see what came out and what I enjoyed doing and what I wanted to do with it. And I discovered Skillshare.com, which is where people go and they have all these incredible, you know, lessons that you can watch all these videos, illustrators. And I just discovered this, like this whole world opened up to me. And, you know, I just discovered all these amazing illustrators and all these avenues about where they sell their art and just thinking, wow, you know, you can license your art on greeting cards and fabrics and bedding and wallpapers and mugs and, you know, calendars. And it was an avenue that I never really understood. And so I just felt like this whole other world of possibilities opened up to me. So I actually started my other creative business on my own, and that is called Bohemian Creative Lifestyle. And the website is bohemiancreativelifestyle.com. And it's the same on Instagram. It's Bohemian Creative Lifestyle. And in the beginning stages of it, and I felt like I'm just trying to put a lot out there now and kind of see what I like doing, where I think there's a niche, a market for it. And I'm kind of honing that in a little bit right now. And I'm kind of discovering that where I think my art would be good for and What I enjoy doing are more paper products like greeting cards and calendars and things like that. So I think I'm now going to hone in a little bit and really target those markets and really try to create a lot of art focused on those markets. And I just finished yesterday doing my second round of submissions to greeting card companies to have them license it. So that's kind of where I'm going with that. But like I said, that's in the earlier stages of it. And so like I said, I like to have my fingers in a lot of different things. couple of challenges that I have had. And I think the main one is something that I probably most people have to deal with. It's time. And I often feel like, you know, saying, oh, I don't have time or money is kind of a cop out because, you know, that's kind of what everyone says. And sure, you know, but it's true in a sense as well, because I recently started participating in this creative business accelerator program, and it's specifically for people with creative businesses who really kind of want to jumpstart and get off on the right track. And so I just started that, and it was interesting because the facilitator said, you know, especially for creative people, that having multiple streams of income is really important. And most artists, if you really try to focus on one thing, you probably can't make a living just kind of being super focused. Maybe some, you know, top people can be, but most people really, like, they do different things. They teach about their art, you know, they have videos on Skillshare, they're Skillshare teachers, or, you know, and they license some and then they sell some direct, and they have different ways that they sell their art. And he said that, you know, that's really important, but in order to do that, you have to be able to consistently give each revenue stream enough attention and maintain them. And you can't just kind of let something go and when you get busy. And I think that happened when I was selling my condo for about 6 weeks. I just completely ignored my art and everything to do with it. And I think it was to my detriment. So for me, a challenge is that I'm really trying to consistently give enough attention to each thing. And when if I realize, oh, I'm too overwhelmed or I don't have enough time, to really kind of focus in on, well, okay, what's the best income potential or that you're making income from that you need to focus on? And maybe you need to streamline and set something aside, or so maybe look at it as an opportunity to, you know, stand back and really look at, you know, okay, if you're overwhelmed and you're not doing any of them well, you know, which ones do you really need to focus on? So that's something that I struggle with. And I'm trying to get that balance and figure out, you know, what to prioritize and all that. So the advice that I have for anyone listening is, you know, I feel like I got a couple of wonderful tidbits along the way that have really stuck with me. And so I would like to share them. I have four of these. The first one is probably for anyone thinking about starting a business, or, you know, anyone who has that sort of burning passion in them that's saying, there's something in me that I really want to do this, but I'm not sure how to do it or if I can do it. And, you know, or you're thinking about starting, you know, you're just not quite sure if you can take that leap. So for me, you know, I think that not trying something is something I would regret much more than failing at something. And I know that if I'm, you know, 90 years old on my deathbed and I had never tried to do anything with my art, I would be really upset with myself to be like, wow, why did I never try that? So I don't mind failing as much as I mind not trying. And I recently heard this term called failing forward. And I love that. Like, that just incredibly resonated with me, because, you know, failure often has such negative connotations. But I think even in failure, you learn so much. And if you really look at it, there are so many things that you can take away from those experiences. And back when I started getting interested in the real estate part, I actually started a business doing home staging, like preparing homes for sale, because I love decorating and home improvement and all that. And I thought I would just love doing that. And I did not love doing that, because I realized I think I am physically way too lazy to do this because it's like moving every single day. Like you are moving furniture in, you are loading your car up with pillows and lamps and accessories. And I don't have the energy to do that every single day. So it was not for me, but I'm so glad I tried it. And I don't look at that as a failure. I look at it as something that I thought I would enjoy. And I tried it and I ended up not enjoying it. And, you know, it wasn't like I put my entire life savings into this. You know, I was doing other things and trying it. So if you're not sure, maybe you don't have to go in, you know, head first, quit your job, do, you know, put everything you have into it. There are ways you can try things and see if you really like them and see if they resonate with you. You could, you know, reach out to people who are doing them and ask to shadow them. You can take classes. There's a lot of ways to discover if what you're thinking is actually what you would want to do or would enjoy without having to go in 100%. So that's something to think about. The second is, for me, how important it is to have communities of like-minded people. Just starting this accelerator program with other creative business entrepreneurs, it's so inspiring. And you just get so much feedback and so much support from people who are in the same boat that whatever industry it is or, you know, that you're looking to do, to just really try to get involved with other people who are doing it, see how they're doing it, learn from them. And it can be incredibly inspiring and supportive. Because, you know, a lot of times when you're an entrepreneur, you work on your own. You know, you don't have a big office, you know, of people around you. And it can be really, really important to have this support around you. So I would really recommend that. And I was just listening to this online conference with a bunch of artists, and it was really amazing. The one thing that they kept saying over and over is really to be persistent, like how important being persistent is to people's success. And, you know, people who you think, oh, they're so successful, and, you know, they've maybe been doing it for 10 years, you have no idea what struggles they had to go through. And that it really takes a long time for most people to make it. And again, at this accelerator program, he said, you know, a mistake I see is people give up too soon. You know, a lot of times, you know, when you are an entrepreneur, you do have to hear no a lot, and you have to be able to take it. And, you know, if you really know this is what you should do, be persistent with it. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't pivot. You know, maybe you keep getting feedback and, you know, oh, you know, this product could be better than this product. And if everyone's telling you that, maybe all of a sudden you should think, oh, do I need to pivot a little bit here or there? So being open to things, but not giving up on them. And that kind of leads into the third point is don't judge your success based on where other people are in their journey. I know it's so easy to look at people who have, you know, thousands and thousands of followers on Instagram, and they seem to have all these successes and all these clients. And it's so easy to say, wow, they've made it. And why am I struggling and I'm not? But again, you know, it may have taken them 10 years to get to that point. And you don't know what all they've had to do to get there. And so don't judge where you are. You know, it's like, it could be comparing apples and oranges. And, you know, it's really trying to embrace where you are in your journey, I think, is incredibly important. Because, you know, somebody said to me, if you could make, you know, wave a magic wand and, you know, be successful, what does that mean for you? And sure, I would love to have, you know, my art featured on all these products and making tons of money and travel around the world. And sure, but that's not where I am. And I think that the stage I'm at is important because I am discovering, you know, what I want to do with my art. And I think if you're not embracing the stage and really, you know, looking at it and just waiting for that day, you know, when you are making tons of money and not, you know, worrying about, you know, where you're going to get clients or whatever, or really putting in the work to find the clients, like, I think that it does a disservice, you know, to you. So really try to embrace, even if you're at the beginning and it's struggling, and you know, most beginnings are struggles, and to really sort of embrace it and just, you know, you don't know what success will look like. And oftentimes success actually looks very different from what you're thinking it's going to look like. And I once heard this one guy say that, you know, his business was, you know, quote, successful, and he got that $1 million investment, but now the company, you know, pretty much dictated everything that he needed to do. And it was kind of going in a different direction. And he felt like he was losing control. And he kind of wished, you know, going back to those earlier days that, you know, when he was just doing it because he loved it. And so in theory, he had made that, you know, level of success, but it wasn't what he thought it would be. And so to really sort of not be only looking towards that goal, but to be enjoying everything along the way as well. And then the last point is maybe for anyone who's been doing it for a little while, but you feel stuck for whatever reason, maybe your business isn't growing as much as you would like it to, and you're trying to understand maybe why that is, and to really look inside of yourself and really see, is there a fear? Is there some sort of fear that is stopping you from doing what you need to be doing to take it to the next level? And I have an example for this. So 4 years ago, I went to the UK to this hippie entrepreneur camp. And it's run by the Happy Startup School out of the UK. And they are awesome. They're all about, you know, helping entrepreneurs start businesses that, you know, give them their, with their purpose, that they're happy, that they enjoy doing it. It's not starting a business for the profit. It's because it's what you want to do with your life. And there was this one session that talked about getting over your fears. And they talked about when you're really doing what you're supposed to be doing. And once you get over the fears of whatever it is that's kind of blocking you from getting to your success, that you get to this incredible place, and he called it synchronicity, where it's like this incredible thing happens where when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and you've overcome your fears, that all these doors seem to kind of magically open up. But it's not, it's just because you're putting yourself out there in a way that you are open to all of these things. And I experienced that a lot myself, is that I've always hated selling myself and my products. I've never enjoyed it. I never will enjoy it, but I used to dread it so much. And for me, I started thinking, like, I've walked into stores with my products and say, hey, do you want to carry this? I've cold called, I've cold emailed. And, you know, I really had to dig deep and say, okay, worst case scenario, you walk in, someone says, I hate it, you're terrible, you're soliciting, get out of my store, don't ever come back, right? So I would probably feel horrible on my drive home, but life would continue, you know, and it wouldn't be that bad. It would be worse not knowing if you could get your stuff in the store or not. And the opposite happened, whereas most people did accept it and they were so lovely. And the feeling that, wow, I just walked into the store and got an order placed on the spot, that high would much more outweigh any low of not having done it because I was scared to do it. So really trying to see, you know, if you're stuck, it's not that, oh, you need to make a better product or whatever. Is it because you're scared to sell? Or is it because you're not doing something that you should be doing because there's something in you that's keeping you from that? So to just really look deep at that. And the last point on that is, again, at that conference, right before that session, there had been an open session with everybody, 150 people, and they had an open mic where anybody could get up and talk for a few minutes. And then we went into the session, and after we had talked about this overcoming your fears, this guy got up and he said, you know what? He said, my company is up for this grant and you win by having the most votes. And I wanted to get up and I wanted to ask everyone if they wouldn't mind voting for my company. He said, but I chickened out. And everyone was like, no, oh my gosh, you have to do it. When we all get back together again, you're going to take a mic. You're going to get up and you got to do it. And he did it. And everyone was so welcoming and so supportive. And it was like, of course we're going to vote for you. What's the website? You know, we'll do it all. I'll do it right now. And he got, you know, probably 150 votes that he wouldn't have had, had he not overcome that fear of getting up in front of everyone and asking them to help him. And I just think, imagine him, you know, driving home after that conference, having regrets of, God, I wish I had asked that, versus the feeling that he had of how grateful he was for everyone's support and getting over that fear of getting up and asking everyone to do that. So I think overcoming fear is a big thing. Those are my little tidbits. And I just want to thank you, Peggy, for allowing me to share my story. And I want to wish everyone the best of luck on your journeys, whether or not you are looking to start a business or transform your life in some other way. You know, your version of success may not be other people's version of success, but it's yours. So whatever it is that is success to you, I hope that you find that. So good luck, everybody.
Thank you so much, Lisa. There you go, folks. That was Lisa's story and the path she chose to pursue her success. I love what Lisa said about the concept of synchronicity. Once you overcome your fear and start doing what you are meant to be doing, things come together. My favorite quote from Lisa is, "I don't mind failing as much as I mind not trying." Additionally, Lisa is spot on about being persistent and don't compare yourself to others, as everyone's version of success is different. Lisa's down-to-earth wisdom is so inspiring, and I hope her story is giving you some encouragement to start or continue to doing what you love. To conclude today's episode, I want you to think about what your version of success is. Leave your thoughts in the comment section below, and I would love to read about them. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with your friends and family. I would like to invite you to connect with me on Instagram and Facebook under mindful_sequences. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time. Her Path to Success is here to remind you, define success your way, not based on what someone else is doing or what others expect of you. Remember that you are worthy and you have what it takes to succeed.